Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. A live medical call-in talk show, and the phone lines are indeed now open if you have a question or comment that you want to make along the way. The numbers are 941-206-1580 or 888-441-1580. Please feel free to join the conversation if you would like to. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that everyone's listening today because we have an awesome guest. I'm so excited. But before I introduce my guest, I just want to tell everybody that last weekend I was in Orlando at the Florida Academy of Family Physician. What a great conference. 3 days, so much information, and I made friends with some incredible doctors who I'm going to have on the program. So everybody stay tuned, because every time we want to bring you really interesting guests who are also wonderful people like we have today. We have today Dr. Lenita Hansen. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad. Dr. Hansen is an endocrinologist. So give us a rundown of what does an endocrinologist do? I mean, I know, but for our audience.
Yeah, well, endocrinologists, you know, basically, this means that that's someone who actually studies the endocrine system. And basically, today, the topic is more the thyroid. So we study all of the different hormones that occur in the endocrine system, the thyroid being one of them, the pancreas being one, the pituitary gland, the ovaries, the testes, lots of hormones. And, of course, all of the effects of those hormones on the body. So, yeah.
That is really, really important. And I know that Dr. Hansen is from New York and has been here since
1995. Yeah, a long time.
And
yeah.
You said you have two offices. Where are they?
Yeah, we have an office in Port Charlotte, Olean Boulevard. And we also have one in Venice, just off Commercial Court.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. That's great. And she also is a certified diabetes educator, which is really extremely laborious to get. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there are not too many actually medical doctors that are certified diabetes educators. But anyone can educate, but certification requires that you are actually trained in the field and you've demonstrated knowledge by passing a test. So to be a certified diabetes educator, you must be licensed in your own specialty, being an RN, RD, MD, pharmacist, exercise physiologist. And then you need at least 1,000 hours in actual diabetes education where you're supervised. And then you take a very involved test as well, and you pass that test. And that test not only covers just broad knowledge, but it covers your ability to motivate and modify behavior as well. So there are a lot of psychological questions on that test as well, and behavior modification.
Well,
pretty involved.
Yeah. Yes, that's true, because in medicine, we know our bodies, our minds, everything is connected, right?
Yeah, that is true. You know, we can will ourselves into staying in bed and not exercising and not eating right, or we can will ourselves into doing the opposite. So I think the mental, the physical, you know, we're all connecting. It's all goes together in terms of just your overall well-being.
I know you're very dedicated, and I always think it's really interesting. I want everyone, our audience, to know that, you know, a doctor is a very dedicated person. We work really, really hard. We devote our time, our youth, to becoming knowledgeable, to take care of other human beings. What led you down that path?
Well, exactly that. You know, just the whole curiosity, I think, in medicine. And the body, I think, is so fascinating. It really is, the human physiology, just understanding how we are connected, how we move, how we breathe, how we think, you know. And so, therefore, when it came to the endocrine system in medical school, I had a lot of mentors thought us. This goes way, way back, actually, to high school.
Your mentors in high school? Yeah, well, that... Yeah,
it goes way, way back, because we had something called the St. John's Ambulance Brigade. It's like the equivalent to the Red Cross here in the United States.
Okay.
And I did high school in Barbados, and there in the St. John's Ambulance in high school, they would come in and we would do a lot of first aid. You would bandage up each other and play doctor, and you would go into the hospital and you would, you know, just read to patients and see how nurses worked and doctors worked. And you really, you know, so I was pretty curious, and that kind of started the whole process there, that curiosity there. And then, you know, we in medical school, and then in residency, the thyroid and the endocrine system was the most complicated for me to learn anyway. So I paid a lot more attention in it, had great mentors, great mentors. I think we really cannot achieve much unless we have a mentor. And as a result of that, you know, went on to then study under one of these mentors who played a real major role in my deciding to become an endocrinologist, and really loved the field. I really loved the field. And yeah, you know, have, of course, we all have family members that right. either have diabetes or thyroid or something, but that really was not motivating me. It's the family members came afterwards, but the inspiration was really just the intellect and the mentorship. Yeah.
That's a beautiful story. I know what people do not realize, the impact a mentor has on a child, a school teacher. I have a lot of patients who are school teachers, and, you know, everything, as a little kid, you look at everything, and if someone encourages you or believes in you and says, look, you're really interested, like I've said before, I remember even your parents, you know, encouraging you. My parents got me a little microscope kit, and of course, I had to look at everything under the microscope, and I was in Girl Scouts, so that is really, really important to be inspired when you're young, and that takes you, because it's a long road.
Yeah, it is. And I think that inspiration continues into adulthood and certainly into medicine. We as physicians, I mean, we have to inspire our patients on a daily basis. We have to motivate our patients on a daily basis
right.
to care about their health and to become healthy and to enable them to do with the skills that is necessary for them to be able to take charge of their life and to be healthy. And we are just here as mentors and advisors in that path. So I think that continues. And I think physicians are just so appropriate for that role. And we do a great job, I think.
I think we do a great job. And if anybody has a question, please call 206-1580. You know, we have here Dr. Lanita Hansen, endocrinologist. And we're going to talk about any of the questions. But we thought we'd talk about the thyroid, which is a very important endocrine gland, and everybody feels that they have thyroid problems, especially if they have a little tire around their belly. So everybody thinks that. I'll never forget when I was just started out as a doctor, and this lady got really mad at me because she says, I know it's my thyroid. I know it's. I says, well, you're not overweight because of your thyroid. She was really upset. I said, well, and I tried to lay the real reality. But anyways, Dr. Hansen, tell us, because people actually don't know, where is the thyroid? What does it do?
Okay, well, the thyroid is a butterfly-shaped gland. It is located in the base of the neck, and you can just feel it just above your clavicle. Just below your Adam's apple. And it produces hormones that regulate your heart rate, your blood pressure, your body temperature, your weight. It's also involved in the regulation of the blood sugar and in your calcium regulation. So it does quite a bit, and it's involved in a lot of protein synthesis in the body. So very important gland and hormone.
And it produces the thyroid hormone, right?
Right. And it produces thyroid hormones, and they're T4, which is, you know, one thyroid hormone, and T3, which is another thyroid hormone. And the tissues actually just use the T3. And the reason for the T4 and the T3 basically are the iodine molecules. The thyroid takes most of the iodine that we ingest, and it makes thyroid hormone from it. So you have four iodine molecules on T4, you have three iodine molecules on T3. And T3 is the active hormone in the tissue. So the body makes T4 predominantly. And then as it needs a thyroid hormone, it extracts the T4 and creates T3 out of it. And that's what the body uses. So we really don't need the T3 necessarily. We just need the T4. thyroid hormone.
Okay, great. Looks
we
like
have a caller, doctor.
Yes.
We could maybe help out. Caller, you're on the air.
What?
Yes, sir, your question?
Hello? Yes, caller.
Yes. I got a problem.
Go ahead.
Oh, my name is Mike Lane. I live in Venice. I've been trying to call you for years. Anyway, I have a terrible back problem. Mm-hmm. I had a good surgeon, put a couple plates on my back, and I've been suffering ever since I was 6 years ago. What should I do?
Okay, caller, if you're having back problems, I think you need to see either a orthopedic doctor or a neurosurgeon, but I always say start first with your family doctor, so they can be the person to direct you where you need to go next. Thank you for your call.
So the thyroid hormones, T3 and T4, that's where we left off before, just for...
Yes.
Collection's sake.
Yes, T3 and T4. That's so these hormones you said are that what our tissues use. So tell us about like when somebody has an underproduction, as we call it, hypothyroidism. And what do we do for that?
Okay, first let me backtrack a little. Yeah. We did not mention another hormone, which is the one that everyone talks about, which is the TISH. And I did not mention it because it was not a thyroid hormone.
Okay, that's very important, the TSH.
The TSH, and that's actually a pituitary hormone, and it causes a lot of confusion, the level. So the TSH stands for thyroid stimulating hormone, and what that means is that the pituitary is stimulating the thyroid. So this TSH is in the pituitary. So the pituitary is the master regulator.
The big boy,
the boss. So basically, if your body, if the pituitary senses that your body does not have enough thyroid hormone, meaning that you're sluggish, the pituitary then will start to stimulate the thyroid to try to make the thyroid make more thyroid hormone. As a result, the TSH will go up. So when you're sluggish, your TSH is elevated. Your body may have a low thyroid hormone, but your TSH is elevated, the pituitary hormone.
Right.
And the reverse is true. If the pituitary senses that you are making too much thyroid hormone or you're taking too much thyroid hormone, it doesn't know the difference. It just sees that the thyroid hormone is too high. Then what that will say, the pituitary will say, wait a minute, this person has way, way too much thyroid hormone. I am going to shut down stimulation. I don't want them to make any more thyroid hormone. And therefore, the pituitary will put the TSH down to zero. As a result, now you have your TSH is zero. Your body is not low. You are overactive, but your pituitary, the TSH, is making no TSH is zero.
Very right. Good.
We do have another caller, and callers, if you're interested in asking a question of Dr. Hansen that she might be able to help you with regard to endocrinology, you're certainly welcome to join the conversation at 888-441-1580. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Can you tell me what would cause a low heart rate? I'll listen for your comments. Thank you very much, and you have a good show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling, caller. You want to answer that?
Wow, a low heart rate. Well, certainly if you're sluggish and your thyroid is not working properly, since the thyroid is responsible for the metabolic rate, then you could have a low heart rate based on a low thyroid level. But certainly you could have a low heart rate for lots of other reasons. Medication, you may be on a beta blocker or something like that. You may be getting eye drops that have, a beta blocker in them that will also slow your heart rate. And certainly you could have a rhythm problem, in your heart that you would need to see a cardiologist for, and that could have a lower heart rate. So lots of reasons why, really.
One more time, I will say everyone should have a family doctor to be checked out and then put you in the right direction. As a family physician, we look at the whole person and the whole body. I am a family physician, and I totally recommend that everyone should have one. So going back to the thyroid, that's very good you brought up about the big boy gland, the pituitary. And I say big boy because girls have it too. I don't want to get anybody confused. But the one, it's the master. Okay, tell us, the one that's in charge.
Right. So basically, we have the TSH, and we have the T4, and we have the T3.
Okay.
Right. So that really sums up the hypo and the hyperthyroidism concept.
Right.
Right. So that would be it. Now, there are other things that could be wrong with the thyroid. The T4, the T3 are just blood tests, and the TSH are blood tests. But then you also have the actual physical exam, which your family physician will do. And on examination, or you can actually do it yourself in the mirror. You just hold your neck up, look into the mirror, and swallow using some water, and you will see a bulge. If you see a bulge, then that means your thyroid may be enlarged. And in that case, then you should see your family physician. And then the first thing still is to have those thyroid tests and hormones done, but you may also need further testing, like an ultrasound, to see if you have what we call nodules.
Right. So, that's very common, it right. seems.
It's very, very common. You know, your lifetime risk of having a thyroid nodule is extremely high. So most people, probably half of the population, will have a thyroid nodule before they die. So very, very common. Most of them are benign, over 90%. So no reason to go panic and worry about them. And they're caused for different reasons, you know. A nodule is just one nodule, but then you have the whole gland. The gland can just be enlarged and have multiple nodules, or the gland can be enlarged and have no nodules at all. And what makes the gland enlarge or really or have nodules are really mainly two things, really.
Okay.
One is worldwide. If you are in anywhere outside of the United States, it's more iodine deficiency. We do not have an iodine deficiency problem here in America. What we have mainly is Hashimoto disease. And that is really an inflammatory response to the thyroid, usually autoimmune, meaning that it's genetic. Your family members may have it. And you have these antibodies or proteins that in some way interfere with the function of the thyroid. Some of them will stimulate the thyroid into working more. Some of them will stop the thyroid from working. Some of them will just destroy the thyroid. So you have antibodies to the thyroid. And if you have those antibodies or an inflammatory response, you have Hashimoto disease, which is really the bulk of the cause of a sluggish thyroid and an enlarged gland within the United States.
Okay, that enlarged gland being a goiter.
Exactly.
You've heard people say a goiter, and you can see in some artwork, some of the women had huge thyroids. The artists paint the woman, and you see this big bulge right there.
Right. Now, of course, we are all so conceited today that we don't wait for the big bulge, most of us. First little sign of a dot, we see the doctor. But yeah, in the past, you know, women just had these big goiters. And, you know, the big goiter in itself just looked cosmetically, you know, not right, but it's not really doing any harm per se. You only will get some harm in terms of obstruction of your other, you know, structures like your trachea, and your larynx, if that goiter grows inward and grows down because right. there's no space there. So you may have some choking sensation, difficulty swallowing. But when it grows out, it really does not cause any harm per se, as long as it's not making too much thyroid hormone.
Yeah. Okay, because I know that it's a lot of people, you know, they want to blame, again, the weight gain on thyroid. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
There are lots of...
I think that's a myth.
Yeah. Well, no, some of them are legitimate. Some people do have legitimate thyroid levels that are low. And low is very controversial, to be honest with you. You know, I know there are a lot of reports out there that say your thyroid level should be 2, and that should be what it is. Most of the ranges...
The TSH should be 2,
or around there. Now, the problem we have actually is that there's several different assays for all of the thyroid hormones, the free T4, the T4, the T3, the TSH, all the different assays. And these assays come with different variability, and that leads to some of the confusion as to whether that assay is actually correct or not. Again, some of those assays are also affected by different hormones. Like, say, estrogen is a very common one. you know, the T4 and the T3, they're bound to hormones, that, to different proteins. That's how they are in the body. So if you have a lot of the protein, you have a lot of T4, because that T4 has a lot of stuff to bind to. If you have a lot of protein, you have a lot of T3. If you have low, you have a low amount. So when you're taking something like estrogen in particular, that's the most common one I see, estrogen is one of those hormones that will increase that particular protein in your body. So if you're on estrogen, you have a high protein level, and therefore when you do the blood test, your T4 level and T3 always come back elevated, because it's elevated because it's bound to a high protein level. But you yourself, you are fine. Your thyroid is not overactive.
Okay.
You are fine. It's just because of the assay and the binding of the hormone. So again, lots of variability. One of the confusions I see, though, is the TSH in particular, is that in the past, the TSH was not sensitive enough. But now we have third generation TSH. And it was not sensitive to detect a hyper overactive thyroid. A lot of people thought it was not sensitive to detect the fact that their thyroid was low. That's actually not true. It was always sensitive to detect a low thyroid. It was not sensitive enough to detect a high thyroid. But today, with the assays that we have, we can detect just the minimal amount of hyperthyroidism. And certainly with the TSH, if the TSH is normal, most likely you are normal. So there's only like maybe a rare case where the pituitary is not working, and therefore the TSH does not reflect what your, you know, your true thyroid balance. But that is in the rare case. So if your TSH is normal, for the most part, you do not need anything else. You just need to just go by the TSH.
Okay, looks like we have another caller. Caller, what's your question?
Yes, a year ago, I was my doctor found a nodule on my thyroid.
Okay.
And they did a biopsy, and they called it papillary cancer. So I then went to Moffitt, and they had taken the thyroid out.
Okay.
Now, they said it was a rare tumor called a hyalinized trabecular tumor. And I didn't need to have the radiation therapy afterwards. So my question is, did I have cancer or not?
Well, did they say that you had cancer? It seems that you had papillary cancer based on your initial...
They said that the cells were papillary, a 70% chance of that. And I said, why can't you tell me all the way? And they said, well, because we only take samples of the cells from, you know, a couple different places. It had all the characteristics of papillary cancer, but they said that the tumor was a rare, it was only discovered in like 1980s. It's called a hyalinized trabecular tumor. So I'm confused as to whether I had, if somebody asked me, did I have cancer? Like I said, I went to Moffitt, and they didn't tell me. They said some say it's cancer, some doctors say it's not.
Well, you know, I think you have to discuss that, you know, with the physician, with your physicians and your endocrinologist in detail. But as a general statement, you could have different thyroid cancers within your thyroid gland at the same time. Certain parts of the gland will certainly be normal. Some parts of the gland may have what we call lymphocytic thyroiditis, which is more like a Hashimoto component. And then there may be some parts of the gland that may have just nodular hyperplasia, which is just means that that part of the gland is just, the cells are just bigger, but it's not cancer. And then you can have, you know, areas that actually do have cancer themselves. So I don't know if I can really answer your question, but I can just say that within the thyroid gland itself, you could have just different types of thyroid disease, including cancer.
Thank you, caller. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, you know, we're here to help educate the general public, our and also our patients that are listening. But the actual medical advice needs to be obtained from your physician who knows you the best and sees you on a one-to-one basis.
Absolutely. Let's take a little quick break here just to remind you that you are listening to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Southwest Florida, Port Charlotte. And if you would like to visit them online, they have a wonderful website, wonderful in the sense that it has an archive of all of these radio programs covering a wide variety of subjects. So you can always go back and listen to your heart's content at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A, Prevention Center, all one word, .com. Your calls are welcome and the phone lines are open, 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. If you have a question or comment today pertaining to endocrinology, we do have a guest here who might be able to interact very well with you on that particular subject, and we do welcome your calls here at News Radio 1580. Now back to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And as you know, I have a guest today, Dr. Lenita Hansen. And remember, my practice includes lipids. I'm a lipidologist, certified menopause practitioner. We are taking patients, new patients, and we're located in Harbor Boulevard in Port Charlotte. And we want everyone to know that we're here to help answer. It looks like we have another caller.
Hi, caller. Go ahead.
How are you?
Hi.
Okay. This is right up my alley.
Okay. And I recognize.
Right up my alley.
Do I recognize that voice?
Yes. Did you tell Dr. Hansen that I had a 92 a mixed edema coma?
No, I did not. This is my mother.
Ooh. Oh.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, I tell you, I live on Centroy. But at that time, there wasn't the test that now they do for TSH. You know, they thought it was a flu. I was working at a clinic, and Dr. Tadalan was taking care of me at that time, and I went one morning and didn't wake up, and they had to rush me to the hospital. So maybe you could tell them what a mixed edema coma is, because there was doctors that came around to see, because I had never seen one.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mom. And that has.
I'll listen to the thing. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. That's
you.
That's my mother, Mercy Triana, and she had a severe case of hypothyroidism. So now she's going to put that in the direction of low-functioning thyroid, hypo. So maybe Dr. Hansen could talk about that for us.
Yeah, fortunately, we do not see mixed edema coma, in today's age. At least I have not. I don't know. Maybe they're maybe in other countries, but here I have not seen it in a long, long time. One case close enough to it, but I don't think she actually got into the comatose state. But basically what it is, you cannot live without thyroid hormone. So if your thyroid is sluggish, your thyroid is no longer working, if you've had your thyroid removed, if you've had, you were not born with a thyroid functioning properly, you've had congenital hypothyroidism, you are all at risk for mixed edema coma, which means an extreme, extreme case of hypothyroidism, where the body just shuts down, you become sleepy, you gain weight, retain a lot of fluid, cardiac malfunction, and basically go into a coma and die. And that can occur certainly within 3 months of not having thyroid hormone.
Well, so that's pretty quick, three months.
Pretty quick. That's pretty much about how long of a reserve you have of thyroid hormone in your body. So basically the take-home message here is that if you do not have a thyroid, or if your thyroid is not working properly, that you must take your thyroid hormone for the rest of your life. You can skip a dose here or there. You'll gain a couple of pounds. You will not die, but you cannot totally come off of your medication. And that is really, really very important. So I thank Dr. Trian's mom for bringing that to the forefront here, because some patients say, well, I'm tired of taking pills, and they think they can just stop all of their pills. Well, this is one pill you do not want to stop.
That's what I tell patients, and they do. They said, always, they said, do I have to be on this medicine for the rest of my life? I said, well, exactly. The thyroid, I'm giving you what your thyroid is not producing. You need to have this for the rest of your life. And if you lose weight or gain weight, it's going to make a difference, especially in the dosage as you age. Also, so we have to periodically check. Patients, their blood tests to check, are they getting too much or too little of the thyroid hormone that we're giving them, right?
Exactly, exactly. And as I mentioned, the TSH is pretty accurate. So if your TSH says that you're getting enough thyroid hormone, you are. And, you know, there's the amount of weight gain. They've done some studies to show that if your TSH is less than 10 in normal people, in people who reportedly do not really have a thyroid problem, for whatever reason, they had a blood test done, they feel fine, they're not gaining weight, they're not losing weight, they're fine, and the blood test was just randomly done, and that blood test is a TSH between 4.5 to 10, that if you are asymptomatic, putting you on thyroid hormone at that point is probably not going to make a difference. You're not going to think any better. Your weight is not going to change. Nothing is going to really happen to you because you're asymptomatic. However, if the TSH is above 10, then, you know, and you're under the age of 85, then, you know, there's a certain lot of thought into looking at your lipid panels, looking at your cognition, looking at your cardiovascular risk, and starting you on thyroid hormone based on symptoms and those other factors. As you get older, your TSH actually tends to climb. And there's a lot of conversations to whether once you're over 85, whether you really need to be on thyroid hormone if your TSH is about 7 or 8 or 9 and you're not having any other symptoms, because the studies show it probably does not change your outcome in terms of your mortality or your cardiovascular outcome. So, you know, the TSH itself is really, whether you're on that medication and the dose of the medication really depends on the level, depends on your other medical condition, what else is going on with you at that time. But to take thyroid hormone when your only symptom is that you have that tummy bulge or that you believe that you're not losing weight and there's nothing else going on, chances are if the TSH is less than 10, it probably is not going to help, maybe 1 or 2 pounds, but nothing significant that you're actually looking for in terms of weight loss, you know.
It's the basics are the basics.
Yes. Calories in, calories out.
Diet, exercise. So tell us, what are the signs and symptoms of someone who does have hypothyroidism?
Right.
Low functioning. And again, the TSH is a blood test. I'm just, in case people are just tuning in.
Correct, correct. And right, so if you are having a truly hypothyroid underactive, and that's H-Y-P-O, underactive thyroid, then your TSH should be elevated, and it should be progressively elevated. In other words, if the doctor did the first TSH and it was okay, but a little high, the next one should be higher if you really truly are hypothyroid. We can also do thyroid antibodies on you to check, and those thyroid antibodies are proteins that are attacking your thyroid and making your thyroid not work properly. And if you have antibodies, then there's at least a 50% chance that you are truly hypothyroid or will be progressing to hypothyroidism. And then you're someone that we probably would want to treat as well for that. But some of the symptoms of the hypothyroidism are basically you're sluggish, you're tired, you're gaining weight, you know, sleeping quite a bit. Those are usually the main symptoms that people right. are complaining about. You may see some bags under your eyes, a little bit of infraorbital edema.
Constipation,
exactly. Right. Thank you. Your lipid panel may be a little high. Your LDL right. may be high. Your dry skin, your skin may be getting a little dry. Your hair may start to break a little bit. So these are some of the, now all of these symptoms by themselves do not mean that you have a thyroid, because these are just symptoms right. that can be with any other disease, such as iron deficiency, for example, or anything like that. But certainly they do point in the direction that maybe the thyroid is just not working properly, and we need to evaluate it just a little bit more.
And we have another caller. Caller, how are you doing today?
Hey, afternoon. Question. A person that is taking thyroid medication because they have no thyroid.
Yes.
Being hurricane season, well, if one runs out of medication, how long do they have before they have to get medication?
Okay, Dr. Hansen, our guest will answer that. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Well, certainly the medication will be in your body for about 2 to 3 months, but certainly you will not be feeling well. You will not feel well probably within 2 weeks after running out of that medication. Some people may not feel well after skipping one dose, actually. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel less. You're not going to be focusing properly. So really and truly, because it is hurricane season and we can get a 90-day supply, the prudent thing at this point, I think, and this is for everyone, is to just check your medication list during this time and make sure that you have all of your medicines on hand, and get at least some extras. If for some reason your insurance plan is an issue, one possibility is possibly some samples from your physician's office that may be able to tie you over, just in case.
Be prepared.
Be prepared, yes.
Like a Girl Scouts. We have another caller. Great caller. What's your question, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, I don't remember having my thyroid checked in a number of years. I'm 84 years old, and I don't have any particular problems. I am a little overweight, and I would like to lose some of that, and I try, and I seem to lose 2 and gain 2.
Well,
but
okay.
What do I ask my general doctor to test my thyroid?
Okay, caller. Well, thank you very much for calling the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. We have Dr. Lenita Hansen, who's an endocrinologist, is going to go ahead and answer that question.
Yes, what we would want to do is check your TSH level. And, you know, if that TSH is certainly under 10, then I think the doctor would have to sit with you and look at your lipid panel, look at the if you have any heart disease, and to make sure that, you know, if the intent is to start thyroid hormone, that is started very slowly. So we start at the very lowest dose because we do not want to stimulate the heart. And then we would probably adjust that dose after about 2 weeks. But first you start with a TSH to see if it's even elevated, because it may actually be normal. And there may be other factors why you're not able to lose the weight.
Well, this is also very important. And thank you for calling. I know also it's one of the causes of amenorrhea. I've had patients, young women come who are not sexually active, who ended up because they were hypothyroid. Their period stopped. And you could tell us about that, Dr. Hansen.
Well, yes, the thyroid does affect as well, you know, the menses. The TSH is a pituitary hormone. And any dysfunction, not necessarily in the TSH, but there's even the TSH itself, or the power person, I forgot what we call that person. Did you say power man or something?
The big boy.
The big boy. So the
master gland.
The big boy has an even bigger boy, I guess you would say that, that controls him.
Yeah.
So we have the hypothalamus controlling the pituitary, and then the pituitary controlling the thyroid. So we there's a succession here. But basically, the thyroid dysfunction can cause amenorrhea or too much menses or painful menses in either direction. Usually when you're sluggish, though, usually what happens is that you're having heavy menses. It's usually the case in painful menses. When you're hyper, when you're overactive, you tend not to have any periods at all. But either direction can occur.
Well, that's very important about hypothyroidism. So we know that hypothyroidism is underworking. Mm-hmm. So tell us about when the thyroid is overworking, or hyper, H-Y-P-E-R.
Right, exactly. So when the thyroid is overworking, and this is actually, unfortunately, not diagnosed early enough in a lot of patients. I've seen it over and over again. A lot of times patients present with just a little bit of palpitations, some shortness of breath. So, of course, they see the cardiologist as their first line. And I've seen patients that go through an entire cardiology evaluation, and all along it was their thyroid. And what can happen is they do end up having some cardiology dysfunction. The heart itself might be a little enlarged, or they might have some fluid around it. And again, that again focuses onto the heart. But once you fix the thyroid and you correct the overactivity, then usually all of the cardiac problems resolve. So just to backtrack a little bit, so you're having a little bit of shortness of breath, you're having some palpitations, and then you need to just have your thyroid done. And the TSH will be low at this level. Once the TSH is low, then we do a free T4 to see exactly how hyper you are. And then we go ahead to treat you.
We have another caller. Caller, what's your question today?
Question is, should I take iodine every day?
Okay, thank you very much, caller, and we appreciate that, and we'll ask Dr. Hansen. His question was if you should take iodine every day.
The short answer is no.
Yeah.
And the short answer is no because we're not in an iodine deficient country, and we have everything is fortified, including the bread, the salt, so we get plenty of stuff in iodized salt. So really and truly, there is no need for iodine. Iodine is very interesting, actually, because if you have a normal functioning gland and you take this excess load of iodine, and this sometimes happens when you go get an iodine scan or something like that with an iodine load. But if you take a lot of iodine, the thyroid actually shuts down, because the thyroid, like every other gland and hormone in the body, auto-regulates. So if you take an excess, it shuts down and it will not make any thyroid hormone for about 2 to 4 weeks. So if you went and had a CAT scan or something done, it had a high iodine load, and somebody happened to measure your TSH level after, within that 2 to 4 week period, you know, they may think you have a problem. But basically what it is, they will think you're sluggish, because they'll see your TSH is elevated because you had the iodine load and your thyroid just shut down. After about 4 weeks, your thyroid will come back and start making thyroid hormone. So that's in the case that you just took it, just excess load. Then if for some reason your gland, you do have a goiter, or you had a gland that was really not a perfect gland and you just did not know that, and you did that iodine load, then, excuse me, what happened is you run the risk of actually becoming overactive and being hyper because of that iodine load. So really and truly, there's really no good reason to take iodine unless you're pregnant, you know, because there's that's a whole different category in the United States.
Well, thank you so much, caller. That, I tell you, you are just a splendid guest. I am just so impressed, and this is a great topic, and we've had so many callers. So I remember one time the first President Bush had his heart went into atrial fibrillation.
I think it's his wife,
Barbara Bush. Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara.
But and it was because they were, she or he, I don't remember who it was, they were hyperthyroid.
It was she, and she had the bulging eyes and everything. She
yeah,
had the real hyperthyroidism. And one of her cardiac symptoms of an overactive thyroid was exactly that, atrial fibrillation. Very common with an overactive thyroid. You know, and of course, once you treat the overactivity of the thyroid again, that helps to control the heart rate. So along with the other medications they use for the atrial fibrillation.
But the bulging eyes, that's a classic.
The bulging eyes is a classic. And once you have the bulging eyes, that or any skin findings or anything like that, then we say that you're hyperthyroid, not because of a toxic nodule or just one of the thyroid just overacting, but it's because now of an autoimmune nature, and that's the difference. So you're still hyperthyroid, but your cause is different. So if you have Graves' disease, which is what it's called, you get the bulging eyes, and therefore you have those antibodies that are stimulating the thyroid, and that's the reason your thyroid is overactive. Doesn't matter. The treatment is the same, which is we can give you some pills to calm the thyroid down temporarily, and then we treat you with radioactive iodine, a very low dose. But that goes in because the thyroid doesn't know any better, and the thyroid takes up iodine and uses iodine to make thyroid hormone.
Right.
When we give you a radioactive or radio-labeled iodine, the thyroid does not know the difference. It takes it up, but it cannot incorporate it to make a thyroid hormone. So as a result, what happens is it cannot make thyroid hormone. So we say we kill the thyroid. Because it cannot make any more thyroid hormone. So that is the treatment for the overactive. We give you radioactive iodine. That radioactive iodine now prevents the thyroid from making thyroid hormone. So therefore, now you have to take thyroid hormone, because the body doesn't really care where you get its thyroid hormone. It just needs thyroid hormone.
It needs it.
So you just take the synthetic thyroid hormone, which is Synthroid. And that's a whole nother topic. But, you know, that is Synthroid has been around for a long, long time. And the other brand names. So that's usually the number one prescribed thyroid hormone.
And the other thing is with the hypothyroid and the hyper, the thyroid also plays a role, like you said, with the calcium metabolism. And a lot of people will come in with osteoporosis and they have thyroid problems. Could you talk about that?
Right, exactly. So when you are hyperthyroid, what that does is it pulls the calcium out of the bones. So it will lead to osteopenia and osteoporosis. So when someone is hyperthyroid, we always tell them to take calcium supplement as well. One of the things also that being hyperthyroid or being on too much thyroid medicine, it does act the same way, is that you will develop some osteoarthritis, so you increase your joint pains as a result. So really and truly, when you're on thyroid medicine, and I know a lot of people like to keep the level, the TSH level low, it's really not good for your bones or for your arthritis, because you'll get more joint pains as a result of that, and you're pulling your calcium out, so you're going to get worse than osteoporosis as a result of being on too much thyroid hormone medicine. So usually we like to keep the TSH within the normal range, somewhere between the two or the three. Yeah.
And I know when I was younger, like we were saying, a lot of people, and there were actually some weight loss clinics that would give people, without ever measuring their TSH or their thyroid hormones, would give them thyroid hormone to lose weight. And I really want to put that up as a big red flag. Anyone who's trying to lose weight, as you were saying, it's really a big red flag not to do that.
Yes, because you would actually have to make your body hyperthyroid.
Right.
You would have to make your body overactive in order to lose weight from the thyroid hormone. When you are doing that, you are just causing havoc on your entire body, your cardiovascular system in particular, because you're revving your heart up, you're stimulating your heart, and you can precipitate a heart attack just from being on too much thyroid hormone. So it can be very dangerous as a result of that. Not to mention, you may start to get some swelling in your leg, some edema, your joint pains, the arthritis, the osteoporosis. If you are in the menopausal, you know, premenopausal range, you're going to obviously stop having your periods as well. That is going to also worsen your osteoporosis, because now, of course, your estrogen is lower. So again, not a good idea to try to use thyroid hormone as the means of losing weight.
Yeah. There's no substitute for having a good diet, exercising, and I know that's one of the myths that is out there. The other myths that people always talk about is, you know, oh, my metabolism is slow, or my metabolism, I've always had a slow metabolism. How do you answer those people?
Well, you know, the metabolism, we don't really measure basal metabolic rates anymore.
Right.
So we really can't tell the metabolism slow, but the best way to increase that metabolism is really exercise.
Exercise.
Anyway, you know, and sometimes it's slow because of what you're eating. If you're eating too many carbs and you're getting to the sluggish mode, sleepy after the meal, maybe it's just your carb intake. And again, focusing again on the diet. A lot of times too, maybe it's just allergies and food allergy testing or allergy testing in general may be helpful to see if there is something there that is making you slow and constipated and whatever. So it may be just that's the route to go as well.
My mother always used the saying, if you rest, you rust. And it's true. If you don't move, things don't work as well.
I always say mother knows best.
That's right. So before the end of the show, I want Dr. Hansen to tell us again, if someone wants to get a hold of you, wants to make an appointment with you, give them your phone numbers, where you're at. Give us some information.
Okay. My pleasure. So basically, we are in the Port Charlotte office, and that's 21216 Olean Boulevard. Now, you know, we also do diabetes classes on a monthly basis. The classes are recognized by the American Diabetes Association. Medicare and most insurance covers it. The number there in Port Charlotte is 624-4800, both to make an appointment and for the classes. That's 624-4800. Also, we have a research center, and we're doing lots of research. Right now, we're screening for type 1 diabetes risk. So if you have a family history of type 1 diabetes, you or someone in your family may be at risk to develop the disease. So through the TrialNet Pathway to Prevention study, eligible families are offered risk testing at no cost. And Hanson Clinical Research Center will be hosting a screening event on Wednesday, July 31.
Wow.
From 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that's also at 21216 Olean Boulevard and Suite 8. And the telephone number for the research center is 941-764-9110. That's 941-764-9110 to learn more, to schedule an appointment for testing. But you can just show up Wednesday, July 31 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. At the research center, and you can be screened to see if you are at risk for having type 1 diabetes because you have a family member that has type 1 diabetes.
Well, you know, that is really wonderful. So not only are you a practicing physician and endocrinologist, but you do research. Research is so important because it's going to impact the future of how we care for our patients. So you're involved with that. Then don't you also have an office in Venice?
Yeah, we have the office in Venice, and that's located on 389 Commercial Court. And the telephone number for the Venice office is 941-484-1200. That's 941-484-1200. We also have a website, so you can just go online, www.diabetesfl.com, diabetesflorida.com.
And, you know, you were talking about the diabetic educator, because I have a nurse who wants to become a diabetic educator. I think a lot of patients don't realize that with these classes that you give for diabetic education, most of them are covered by insurance. And the wealth of information, the impact this is going to make on your health is so important. I always think everyone who, I wish they also had pre-diabetes education, but everybody who has diabetes, it's, tell them how important. It's like a day course, right?
Yeah, but these are survival skills. And I always tell, you know, my patients, you know, you're seeing me maybe, I don't know, three times a year for like a 10-minute visit. So that's like 30 minutes for the entire year. The rest of the year, you know what? You are taking care of your diabetes. So you need those survival skills to know what to do, to know when you're sick, to know when you just ate, you know, a donut, to know what to do. So I think the education is key to controlling your diabetes. And more than anything else, that's what's needed. You don't need to see me. You just, they're all certified diabetes educators. And they all are well equipped to help you out with any of your needs and to then report back to your physician. And we do send a note back to your physician, let them know what you're doing, what your goals are for that.
Okay. Well, it looks like this has been a fantastic show. I want to thank again our wonderful guest, Dr. Lenita Hansen, endocrinologist. And if you want to like us on Facebook, we're going to have a picture of Dr. Hansen and I doing the show on Facebook. If you want to go to my website too, TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Dr. Hansen's is
diabetesflorida.com.
And remember, knowledge is power. Thank you, Dr. Hansen. It's been wonderful.
My pleasure. I totally enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. And thank you all the callers. Have a wonderful day. Stay healthy and God bless.